The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
He is Tabitha Monaghan, political reporter with the Irish Independent and the Indo Daily podcast, and Gary Gannon of the Social Democrats. And we start with Gary Gannon because the presidential candidate, What His Party Supports, is on the front of the Irish Times under the headline, Catherine Connolly Cannot Trust England, the US or France. Given that these are three of our biggest allies and one of them is a fellow European member state, is it a good thing for a potential presidential candidate to be poking them in the eye?
Okay, just to be clear, I don't think anybody listening in will be surprised that Catherine Connolly has a healthy scepticism of US imperialism or the UK. I think any politician is going to have particular views. It's healthy to have a scepticism. This is by no means shocking. I mean, these are the sort of things that will come.
Can't trust some of the friendliest nations to us in the world?
I mean, I think that's fair, actually. I mean, in terms of where we go, look, I mean, can't trust in what way? I don't think any nations you have universal trust for anybody. If you look at it, I don't want to get too serious about it. If you look what the US is doing in terms of pressurising us now about the Occupied Territories Bill, I mean, the UK with the Legacy Bill, I mean, the idea of having a healthy EU scepticism based on the fact that what Catherine said was it began as a peace project. I fundamentally believe that it was the greatest peace project of our time. I think it has drifted from that. I mean, I've said that many times. I don't think the views that Catherine has expressed there are too far away from my own. I think having a healthy scepticism about relationships on any level is just good. It's not going to be surprising. You go to any politician's Dáil record and Dáil speeches, you'll find some semblance of that.
Is that going to be difficult during the campaign? Because, as you say, people will go through the record with a fine-tooth comb and hurl it in her direction.
No, I don't think she'll shy away from that in the campaign. Nor would anybody have any expectation she would. Speaking to her values, speaking to the values she associates, she expects from other nations, I think that's not...
But she can't speak to them with a level of commitment that would put her in a position where she can't take the role of independent president.
No,
or rather,
I think the presidential role, I think what Michael Dee has demonstrated, and also Mary Robinson as part of the elders also come out with strong views this week. Nobody expects the president of Ireland to stand there and be mute or indifferent or not have a view. Catherine Connolly is somebody who has an incredible intellect and incredible passion for her beliefs. I think that shines through her. So I think what's on the front pages of the paper today is just a perfect encapsulation of Catherine's politics. She stands over it. She gives substance to it. So it's not taking shots for shots' sake. It's all about her anti-war views and believing in a world that is devoid of conflict. And if she can be a voice for that, she will be.
The other thing that makes her fairly unique among presidential candidates at the moment is that she is a presidential candidate, because the rest of all of the coverage is who's in, who's out, who was in, that's back out again, and vice versa. Frances Fitzgerald has ruled herself out again, because she ruled herself out already. But Sean Kelly, we're not so sure it happened.
That's true. But I think it's funny because Maureen McGuinness ruled herself out because on health reasons. And that was a shock, I think. And it will change the dynamic of the election, the landscape of the election. Anybody who has previously ruled themselves out will have to do again. Bets are off now. You are going to have to change because the situation has changed now. I think there was a perception, Fine Gael, that, you know, I think Simon Harris had previously said that he would be keen to have a competition for the nomination for the candidate. But then,
is this just a Fine Gael issue? Is this just because there was a sense of Mairead McGuinness to get the Fine Gael nod, and therefore, so is it just Frances Fitzgerald and Sean Kelly, maybe Heather Humphreys?
I think Heather Humphreys is by far the front runner now for that. The momentum, I think, is behind her. That was what Mary Regan in the Irish Independent is reporting this morning, saying that very much is the candidate, that they're the person. She's had talks with leadership. There is the Fine Gael executive is going to meet on Monday. It's anticipated that there's going to be a short nomination process, probably next week. So I think it's actually quite funny that that Fine Gael is going to potentially have two election candidates before Fianna Fáil or Sinn Féin have any.
Also the backing of Fahili Ray, you see, this week as well.
And Sean Canny.
And Sean Canny. Yeah. I mean, there is a pageantry to that that would suggest that didn't happen by accident. I think coming out demonstrating that you have a little bit more broader support in the party, there looks to be an element of coordination about that. So I can definitely see Heather Humphreys both having the momentum and coming into the race.
I don't know about coordination, but I think what it is, it's very...
Man.
You did say that earlier on, in fairness. But I think what it does show is that it's broadening Heather Humphreys' support beyond, very much like Catherine, because she has the sock down, she has Labour, she has People Before Profit. That really helps a campaign. And I think seeing that independent candidates are also getting behind Heather, I think very much will help her get on the ballot.
Is it me, or does it also have the feel of the sort of the phony war ending. It feels like we are getting into the phase of actual campaign and an actual bun fight.
I always believe, from Catrin's perspective, I always think that when the debate starts, the country will really get to see Catrin. Because, I mean, sometimes I just sit in the doll, listen to her speak, and, you know, I'm captivated by not only what she says, but how she says it. She's a really compelling speaker. That, for me, is where I think Catrin's campaign will really take off. Well, even at the moment, I think she's doing really well. She's very high up in the polls. She's got backing across a number of different parties. But I think that's when, for me, is when the campaign gets really going.
Is there a bit of a disconnect from the level of media coverage that she's receiving and the level of brand awareness that she has in the broader public?
I don't know. Like, obviously, I'm in the tent, so probably not the one to ask about brand awareness. But, I mean, I think she has a good brand awareness already. I think people know her. People, what she's going to need to get, like, a percentage of the vote for hitting into the 40s, 50s. I think that's possible. We're already, but I think it's a fair point. But I do say, I mean, I looked at her down the floor and Wexford dancing around, people coming over talking to her, people are asking me about her campaign. I do think she has a bigger brand awareness than we probably realise. But I also think people are going to be, if they don't know her, I think when you see her kind of at her best in those debates, I think that is going to take off.
Now, Tabitha, you'd have a sense of the sort of the timing and all this. What about the various different independent left field, who knows, what a shock type candidates? Are they all now out in play, or are we going to see more of them appearing in the coming weeks?
It's an interesting one. I don't know if we're going to see more. I mean, of course, we could. It is a presidential campaign. It is unlike any other kind of campaign or any other election. So very much it is possible. But the independents, if they are going to be getting on the ballot, they have to have really been putting the groundwork in the councils, because that's really their only avenue to get on. They need four local councils or 20 Oireachtas members. So really the council route is the one for anybody who wouldn't be associated with the party. We've seen Gareth Sheridan, for example, who's that independent candidate, the 35-year-old. He has the company over in the US. He has said that he's been working on this campaign for a year now. Now, he's only kind of emerged in the last few weeks. I think probably ill-timed, because as we were saying earlier on, before we came on air, August is a slow time for news. And when you become a fresh new face in the campaign, people are going to go and look into your past because you are unknown. So I think I would probably be surprised if we hear more names. We have other names, the likes of Peter Casey, for example, who's also considering going the council route. Gareth Sheridan saying he has two councils. He said he has Tipperary and Laois. Now he needs two more. So we'll see where that goes. But I would be surprised, because there is an awful lot of work behind being an independent candidate.
There's also an awful lot of risk, because one of the advantages that a Catherine Connolly or a Heather Humphreys has is they have been in this milieu for an awful long time. Yeah. And a lot of skeletons have fallen out of a lot of closets if they have them. If you're an independent arriving in with no public scrutiny, by God, the media fairly fall on you, don't they?
We've seen that this week with Gareth Sheridan?
Yeah. Gareth Sheridan.
Gareth Sheridan. And I mean, it was both compelling and it was awful to watch. I mean, the fact that he said he's been working his campaign for a year, it didn't demonstrate that, but the fact that you can do a simple Google search and find out things about him that he seemingly wasn't overly proud of when he done his press conference. And it was just like, you're watching it through your hands, is going, oh my God, like this.
But you know, from politics, it's very hard to countenance that if you've no experience of it.
I think you can if you haven't, but that's the problem. If you don't have experience of it, putting yourself into the spotlight like that, into the glare, and we just see what happened this week with the guy. I mean, because I'm going to say, I think the media done their job. If somebody coming in saying they want to be president of the country, the media have a job to do. And I think he felt the full force of that this week. It just looked very naive.
Text saying, pity that Michael McDougall is not running. Another, why isn't anyone talking about Simon Coveney for president, a great foreign affairs minister, former MEP, well-liked, says the text. Some of the analysis is suggesting Simon Coveney. I would have thought Simon Coveney has other fish to fry at the moment, does he?
Yeah, I think actually earlier in the week when Mairead made the decision and made the announcement, that he was one of those names. But I think Heather Humphreys was before she ruled herself out, one of the front runners as well, along with Sean Kelly, and we know he's a proven vote getter. Heather Humphreys, really popular. I think what Michael Healy-Ray and Sean Kelly, the point that they were making when they said that they would support her running, is that they believe that she would have this broad appeal, the kind of urban and rural appeal. And that's really important, because you need to prove that you can get a vote from anywhere. So yeah, there were some names floating around, but Fine Gael really have to move incredibly quickly. Like, they've lost a candidate who has been topping the polls, the opinion polls. Mairead was topping the opinion polls before she was even the candidate. So they have a lot of work to do now to try and regain that popularity, because they've lost their candidate.
A text saying, imagine what Trump would make of an Irish president saying she didn't trust the US. and the budget surplus of this country dependent on US goodwill, Gary?
Oh my God. Well, I mean, I think we also have a president right now at this moment in time who equally has very vocal in his views in relation to like the level of kind of US imperialism involvement and war. I think that's okay. I think they'll expect that. People expect that. Nobody expects a president that doesn't have a view or an opinion. I mean, if you go through, you know, Heather Humphreys, for example, she's also a very forthright speaker with her views. I don't think she's going to shy away from her expressions in very different ways. So, look, I think the campaign is going to demonstrate the fact that people have personalities and that should be seen as a healthy thing.
But that is the election, though, is personalities. And, like, just bringing Gareth Sheridan back into it for a moment, he was saying that he was running on a policy, on housing policy, and that we have to really very much focus on housing. That's not what this election is. Election is personality. And I think you're right when you said that once these debates really get going in earnest, that's when we're really going to see the election.
That's always the confusing thing about debates, because you end up, no matter what, no matter how much you try Jesuitically not to, the debates descend into policy discussions over which the president has no role, and it becomes deeply frustrating because they can't just walk around saying, I'm very nice and polite and I shake hands well.
That's true, but I think it'll be how they handle the questions and how they respond and their demeanour, I think, which is really what resonates with people. Do I like the cut of this person's jib? And that's really essentially what it comes down to.
And it's an alignment of values. So when you are asking the policies, what you are capturing is what are your values. I mean, how you either seek to legislate or how you would like to legislate, or where you see failures of the state, is also an embodied of where somebody's values.
So even though you may not be responsible for policy, we want to know how you feel and what you think and what you stand for.
You embody the values of this country and the people you are asking to vote for. I think I can't wait for that. It's so exciting.
We're talking about an awful lot of these people as if they have redeclared their interest in the presidency. Prime amongst them, of course, being Sean Kelly. Sean Kelly's going to be with us a little bit after 10 o'clock, so we can get from him whether or not his hat is back in the ring. We'll move on to other stuff. Further news, Tabitha. This is the sort of the negative gift that keeps on giving. The Children's Hospital.
I know.
More delays,
yes. So the €2.24 billion hospital, I actually only drove past it the other day. It's so impressive. And you just see when you drive past it, it'll be such an incredible asset to the country when we get it open. And
that is $2.24 billion.
It'd want to be. Yes, I totally agree with you. So there was anticipation that the building would be completed by the end of September. Now this is being brought into question now. Anyway, this will be the 16th change in completion date. I think the last update that the National Paediatric Health Development
Board... Did you say
16th?
Mm-hmm. They've missed the deadline 16 times.
The date has changed 16 times.
Well, changing a date of a deadline is missing your deadline.
Exactly, yeah. So there's a few... So what the Development Board have said is that there's insufficient resources. They have a number of key indicators and they're saying that that's being missed. And one of the things that they're citing is resources on the site. So in December 2024, there was 900 people on the site. By May this year, there was 550. And now some weeks in July, there was less than 500. So they're saying there isn't enough people on the ground to meet these deadlines, to meet these kind of key goals. Now, BAM has previously said that there is enough resourcing because they're coming to the end of the project. And that's the natural way things go, that you will reduce the resources because you don't need that many people. But that they have blamed many, many design changes by the Development Board for the delays. And if there's design changes, then everything else kind of has to be, you know, changed in accordance with that. So I mean, what is there to say about the Children's Hospital? At the end of the day, we have this conversation how many times a year at this
stage? Well, I suppose the only remaining thing is there anything out of this to be learned for the next major project we decide to do?
I mean, absolutely, there has to be. I'd imagine that we need to be doing this very, very different. I mean, this delay is only in relation to the build, and I also imagine there's going to be further delays when it comes to workforce planning, how many doctors, how many paediatricians, all of that getting onto the site. I think that's the next big thing that's on the horizon in relation to the Children's Hospital. What we do need to see is some actual oversight from Cabinet, from the Minister. I mean, too often we've had people who signed the contracts who said that it has nothing got to do with me. I do think we need to see more accountability of politicians, accountabilities for those who we give the contracts to. I mean, I don't believe that anyone who's engaged in the Children's Hospital at this point should ever receive a contract in this state again, given the level of cost overruns, delays.
But of course, what BAM will say is that those overruns were a function of the design changes that were foisted upon them, and they had little choice because the deal is if you change, you pay.
Yeah, and well, the people of this country are paying, and we still don't have a children's hospital. So, I mean, yes, I would love to see all of the learnings that we can take from this. But a big learning from me is the level of actual accountability from those who were in charge of actually delivering it, the Minister for Health.
But at the risk of getting lynched for asking the question, is this not just the way it is with large capital projects?
No, this is not just the way it is with large capital projects. We see hospitals built in other countries, other jurisdictions that come in cheaper, come in on time. So it's not the way. It's the way in Ireland, but it doesn't seem to be, it doesn't have to be the way. We've developed a culture of expectation of failure around large capital projects. It's something that we've certainly come into the Irish sense over the last two decades, where I think it's a failure of leadership, a failure of good governments, a failure of just basic accountability. Nobody is ever held to account for decisions like this.
But that's where,
for failures like this.
And also that's where the narrative has gone now. Like, we hear that over and over again with the bike shed, with the security hut. That's what people, I think, what the public are thinking. The media are very much questioning that now. We had the launch of the National Development Plan, billions of euro in capital projects. We have big projects coming down the line like Metrolink. And I think that's what people are going to be looking at now. That's one of the things that is going to be at the forefront of people's mind. And I think the government had said when they launched that plan was that there is a section in it that deals with value for money, and that there has to be greater oversight. So I think there is an acknowledgement, but there will be greater pressure because of all of the different, you know, projects that were considered wastes of money, and the children's hospital and the continuous push delaying of that project. I don't think that is going to change. I think maybe we're thinking about these projects differently now as a result of that.
But when you say a different oversight, I mean, ultimately, I assume it comes back to either the organisation that is running the procurement and purchasing and the project itself, or the political system. It's hard to point to a change in obvious governance for either of those types of entities where you could say, ah, there's the silver bullet that'll make sure that we're on time and on budget henceforth. Or am I missing something?
For me, it's the political system. So I think for me, it was like, I'm a politician. I believe in accountability for decisions. So if you're elected to stand over something as significant as a large infrastructure, if you fail that, I mean, there has to be a culture where you take ownership of those things. There has to be.
And that's, can you think of any politician ever in any country who lost a seat based on a big capital project?
In the UK, you have strong traditions of people resigning when actually...
On big capital works projects?
No, but like, I mean, in...
Cancellation of high-speed rail, do you get somebody where they say...
Where do we have that culture of failure when it comes to large capital projects? I mean, in the Nordic countries, they do these things quite well. People are on top of things. They're monitored. There is accountability built in the system. In Germany, you get actually greater efficiency. I don't understand why we've allowed a culture to develop in Ireland. And this is just seen as par for the course. And sure,
Germany has made a thundering hames of some stuff. I mean, what was the airport that they spent 175 years trying to build, and then it almost went bankrupt when it opened? That wasn't exactly a roaring success.
Yeah, I mean, okay, we can pick out the airport. That's absolutely grand. But I do think in Ireland that we have a stronger culture of failure when it comes to large capital projects. Not just an airport is one thing, but also children's hospitals, roads, all of these things that have just taken too long.
Texts to say, we built a motorway network during the boom, all in time and to budget, albeit mainly a European budget. Let's be clear. We can do large projects. We just need the right management of them. 53106, if you want to get in touch, or 087-1400-106. Tabitha, in other news, fresh from his decision to cut a cheque for 150 grand, which no matter how you slice it, is a significant penalty for whatever problems he caused RTE back in the day. Ryan Tuberty is apparently returning to Irish TV screen.
Yes, so this is a TV show called The Assembly. It'll be on Virgin Media. It's based off apparently a very popular French TV show. Other countries have had spin-offs or kind of their own version of it. The BBC had a version with Michael Sheen on it. Essentially, my understanding and the reading of the article is that neurodivergent children are given the opportunity to ask individuals known people like Ryan Tuberty different questions, and apparently it's very entertaining but also very insightful, and it's kind of current affairs slash entertainment. I think there's four episodes potentially coming down the line. I don't know if Tuberty will be involved in all four, or maybe just one of the four, but that is going to be his return to Irish TV screens.
Is this the start of a trend, do you think? Is this Ryan's return?
Possibly. I mean, I probably wasn't as overly interested until I've seen actually the nature show. It sounds really interesting. It's like
different,
actually, yeah, it's very different actually. So I mean, I'm excited to see that. Is it a start of his return to Irish TV? I don't know, to be honest with you. Is there an appetite? Maybe.
I'm the same as you in that I hadn't heard of this program until this story, and then I looked at some. One of the things that's clever about it is by virtue of the youth of the questioners, They get away with questions that would otherwise cause great offence. There's some cleverness to the form. And by the way, the airport is Berlin-Brandenburg Airport was the one I was referring to. Tech saying, every large project, or at least the vast majority of them, run over budget and over time. And to suggest this is purely an Irish thing is mischievous at best. As regards ministerial oversight, of course this should be the case. But the last thing you need is a minister who might be feeling political pressure forcing a dangerous move during winter time, as in what? That political pressure would force you to make decisions around capital projects that mightn't work?
Or moving children into the hospital during winter? Oh, is that what it is?
I have no idea.
53106, if you want to give us further detail on that one. Now, the big news, of course, of the weekend, other than the peace summit in Alaska, is Oasis playing Croker, 160,000 people. Well, maybe only 120, because I think a lot of people are going to go twice if they get the shot. Gary Gannon, will you be at it?
Yes, I will be at it.
Will you?
I will be there this evening, of course. So
a bucket hat.
I have actually a bucket hat. Yeah, definitely. My mom's selling them. honestly, you should be outside the Red Parrot today if anybody wants to go get a bucket hat.
How much is he charging for a bucket hat?
Oh, that's a controversial one. It's actually €15, I think.
Price gouge.
Yeah.
It's half the price of the official ones.
But these are the official unofficial ones. If anybody wants to go get one off Dana. I'm excited about it. I'll be honest, I don't sit around listening to Oasis records. I don't have a Parker jacket. I did see a big queue and wanted to join it. But I actually think it's great. It is a cultural thing. I don't get it, but I want to be involved in it. So we're being.
And you're going tonight?
Me and my wife are going tonight, yeah.
Have you seen the weather forecast?
No, it was bad.
Oh, no, it was great.
Oh, great. Well, I'm a ginger, though.
That's what I said. Bring the bucket hat.
Oh, no.
Tabitha, you going?
Absolutely not. This is not my thing. It never was my thing. I hated when anybody would pull out the guitar and start playing Wonderwall. Couldn't. No, absolutely not.
You're a Blur fan.
I'm neither, honestly. I will be going to Robbie Williams the week after in Croke Park. That's my music.
You're going to Robbie Williams as well?
Yeah, I'm a music aficionado.
Gary, Tabitha, thank you both very much. That is Gary Gannon from the Social Democrats. Tabitha Monaghan, political reporter with the Irish Independent.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.